Hi, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yes, this is Margaret Gray.
So I'm General Kamish, huh?
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
Now, why did you lead it off?
Because I just wanted people to know that I'm back, that's all.
Well, Phil Henry's back, ladies and gentlemen, and has he got some tales to tell?
Now, wait a minute. What happened on that chat? What did I ask you guys?
You know you're going to have to talk about it. You just know you have to. Why avoid it?
I think Bud, for once in his sweet, short life, he makes a point.
I don't have to talk about anything. I just got upset, and I got off of the fan page, and I went over to the BSP page, and that's all there is to that. That's the beginning, that's the middle, and that's the end, and I'm not talking any more about it, I can assure you.
So what happened?
Well, I'll tell you. I don't want to talk about it, man.
Well, you don't want to talk about it.
All right, fine, Phil. Go ahead and hide from the audience.
No, they know what happened. I'm not going to get into it here. They know what... Those who were there know. As the man said there and do the right thing, as the mayor said, those that know aren't saying, and those that don't know are talking. So, what? You know what I mean. All right, welcome, folks, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Yes, we did have a chat on Friday night. We had it from South Florida, and we did it on the BSPs and More page, which is the Melissa Wolf page. And we're very, very grateful that we have that page. We were going to do it over on the fan page. It's not a good idea doing chats. Let me just say this. It's not a good idea to do the BSP chat when we do a free BSP chat. And that's what that was on Friday night. It was a free one. And,
yeah, free one. Talking about, man.
Take it easy, bud, okay? It was a free chat, so it wasn't one that was on our website. It was a free one because we weren't at the studio. And because we weren't at our El Pacifico studio in California, we were down in South Florida over at Jackie Bale's house. We decided to do the Facebook Live. And we've done them before. But and by the way, I was coming out of some kind of imprisonment or something.
Phil was bounced off of Facebook for some reason. He says he doesn't know why. And I find that suspicious. I really do.
Why?
You don't know why.
You don't know why you were put in Facebook jail.
No, I do not know why. No, I do not.
Now, but that happens. I know a lot of people...
Yeah, you did, or Mr. Proctor did, too.
That's right. Phil Proctor sent an email out and told everyone in the Phil Proctor universe, he said, listen, I've been bounced off of Facebook. I think it's because I'm anti-fascist. I think it's because I like a good time, and Facebook doesn't. I think it's because, well...
No wonder he got bounced out of there.
No. I don't know. I don't know about Phil Proctor. I don't know why I got bounced, okay? I got bounced, that's all there is to it, but I was back, and so to celebrate being back on Facebook, I had a Facebook Live, and it just didn't go good, man, because, you know, it's just not a good place. There's just, it's too many freaking trolls, too many weird asses, and I wind up cursing everybody out and telling them all, and then they start messaging me after the chat.
Well, what were they saying?
Well, I mean, you know, just things like, gee, you're really disappointed in you, and then I have to insult them even further, so why even do it? So we did it over at the BSP page, and it turned out it was a lot of fun. Everybody dug it, and there was, and that was it, and there you go. All right, so welcome to tonight's or today's or whatever the hell this thing is.
Well, it is your first day back, and Phil was over visiting Jackie in Weston, Florida.
Yeah, and Phil, so you don't want to tell us about that, huh?
Yeah, certain people, they're going to want to know.
Well, you know, let me just say I was visiting Jackie. We had a great time. You know, being together and being, seeing how our, you know, thing works. What do you mean, thing?
You put your fingers together like...
Don't worry about it, okay?
All right.
I'm getting kind of personal, Mr.
Well, people must know. Now, we want to know, Phil, you made a very big issue of this, the new relationship with young Miss Bales. We must know, we simply must.
Well, you're not going to know. What do you want to know, anyway?
You know.
And you know. You know what we're talking about.
No, we're not going to talk about any of that kind of stuff, so...
I like this. Phil just wiped his mouth as if he was some slovenly Italian mafioso family don, and he's just... Jesus.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, well, Phil, if you don't want to tell us...
Tell you what, man, we got along fantastic. We had a great time. We really did. We got along spectacularly, and maybe too good, as a matter of fact.
What does that mean?
You know, I mean, I'm just saying, we had a great time. And so I'm going to go back there in 3 weeks. I mean, I don't know. This might become a regular bi-coastal thing. I don't know how we're going to do this. Jackie's eventually going to move here to California, which would be a great thing. She's from California originally.
She's from Sacramento, right?
Yeah, she's from Northern California. She's not really been in Southern California too much, which, you know, in and of itself will probably be some kind of a mind trip for her. But... We'll get it together. We'll make it work. It'll be groovy. And like that, so welcome to the show here today, folks, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have kind of as a special treat, we have Ted Bell from Ted's in Beverly Hills. Let's see what Ted wants to talk with us. We're going to jump right out of the, right out of the gate with Ted. Ted, how you doing, man?
Phil, great, and welcome back, by the way, Phil, from South Florida. We have got a little surprise for you tonight, Phil, because I happen to know Bob Turley, who is one of the managers at the Publix in South Florida. I think you'd enjoy it.
You know Bob Turley, who's a manager at what?
I know Bob Turley, who happens to be one of the managers at Publix, one of the supermarkets down there. Wonderful guy, great company, too. And, you know, I didn't want to, I know Margaret and the general were, so I talked to them a little bit earlier about this.
Okay.
That's good. It is kind of interesting.
It's very interesting. Okay, what did you want to talk about?
Well, it turns out Bill Turley knows a few people. Did you buy sirloin steak?
Did I buy sirloin steak where?
Three guesses.
Bought it at Publix, didn't you?
Okay, yes. Why?
Because we happen to know some people. We've got contacts in the South Florida area, not only with Publix, but we have them with some of the Weber people. And we have a few over at Home Depot over there. So, you know, and as it turns out, we know a couple of people on Jackie Street. So 2 + 2 equals, guess what? Sirloin steak for two. Oh,
man. Boy, do you guys, you're kidding, right?
Am I kidding? Tell the audience, am I kidding? Did Phil Henry eat red, bloody meat in South Florida?
Okay, Ted. If this is a way of busting me because I'm a vegan.
You're obviously not a vegan. Because you ate red, bloody, seeping, bloody meat. The meat of a dead cow.
You're kidding me, right? Phil, all the lecturing you do on veganism... Wait a minute, okay?
Yeah, Mr. Ernie, did you or did you not?
First of all, I'll tell you. I promise you I will. But first of all, Ted, I want to know what your motivation is.
My motivation? I'm talking to some people. I was over here at the buyer's meeting. And I talked to Turley, and he knows, as I said, he knows people who are at Home Depot, the people, the Weber Grill people, and a couple of people live on Jackie Street. And it turns out that they could, you know, they put their nose in the wind, and they put 2 + 2.
They put their nose in the wind how?
A couple of the people stuck their nose up in the wind, and they took a good deep breath, and they could smell sirloin steak for two. They knew you were cooking a steak.
You know, one of these days I want to find out, how do people put their nose in the wind?
Look, Phil, don't make a big... The point that I'm trying to make is they can smell steak cooking.
Phil, if people can smell it, you're not denying it, are you?
No, I'm not denying it.
Trying to make me look like something swinging from one bar to the next at the primate house, San Diego Zoo, bring the family. Honk, honk.
All right, Ted. Yes, you got me.
Right, I know I got you.
Yes, we cooked up steak.
So you cooked up steak. And you cooked it up for you and Jackie, and it went, by understanding, Turley told me that you got a big, thick piece of meat, you know.
Ted, are you getting off on saying that? No kidding, Ted. It sounds like you're really kind of licking your lips.
What the hell is that? Oh, my God. What does that mean?
Well, Bell, you're the guy that's going big, thick. What does that mean? What are you trying to say?
I'm saying he's the guy that bought the meat, not me. Trying to make me sound like I like it.
Yeah, but Mr. Bell, you sell meat, don't you?
I sell it, yeah. You try to do... Oh, because I say we want to put the lips around the meat. You know, here's the thing...
You want to do what?
That's the last time I talked to Dickman about the slogan.
He wants to change the slogan again at Ted's of Beverly Hills. All right, what do you want to change it to this time, Ted?
I said to Dickman, we want to put the meat in the mouth. That was what... And then Dickman said, we want to put the lips on the meat. I said, no, 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 we're not going to go there. But I said I wanted to change it to we want to put the meat in the mouth as opposed to we want to put our meat in your mouth because we wanted it to be sort of an objective view. In other words, not personalizing it. This has got nothing to do with anybody's, any one individual. This has to do with what we do. And at Ted's Beverly Hills, I like to believe that we do what we do, you know.
You do what you do because it's what you do.
Yes.
All right, so you want to put the meat in the... And that's what it's called.
We want to put the meat... That's what I wanted to talk to you about. The reason why I brought up Turley is because I happened to talk to him at the buyer's meeting, and he said to me that he told me what he told me. So, yeah, you know, you're right. I was planning on telling you all about we want to put the meat in the mouth,
They want to do, we want to put the meat in the mouth, see?
And we know, Bud, already. You don't have to explain that.
Well, that's what the initial impetus was for the conversation.
Oh, is that right? We want to put the meat in the mouth. If we have one more conversation, Ted, about your slogans, I think I'm going to come unglued and it's going to be monkey time.
Okay. Because I'm pissing you off because I'm talking about putting the meat in the mouth? I didn't say your...
No, of course you didn't say my mouth, because then it'd be the end of you.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Man.
Oh, you find that funny, huh, Phil?
I do, yeah.
Oh, well, of course Henry finds that funny. That you would threaten one of the top steakhouse owners in America.
I'm not threatening you, Ted. I am telling you, I don't want you bringing me into any conversation having to do with you, your meat, or your mouth. You understand?
Or your mouth. Okay, fine.
All right, Ted, so we have this discussion of the slogan that you know, I'm not really interested in talking about your slogan either. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Do I buy time in your show?
Yeah, but Ted...
Do I buy time on your show?
Yes, you do.
Then that's what I wanted to talk about.
Well, you're not talking about it, are you? You're talking about the fact that... And I'm going to explain this. I bought a piece of sirloin steak because we wanted to use the barbecue one more time. We had barbecued chicken on it.
Oh, chicken, huh?
That Jackie had. Then we barbecued those vegan burgers that we picked up over there in Fort Lauderdale. The Fort Lauderdale... it's Fort Lauderdale place that was fantastic. So we picked up those vegan burgers. And then we wanted to use it one more time. And I said, you know what? What the hell? I mean...
So it was your idea?
Yes, it was my idea. I said, let's cook a steak. You like steak. And it's our last night together. So we barbecued a damn steak.
Now, how does this fit in with you being a vegan?
Yeah, that's the whole thing, son. I mean, you say you're vegan.
You know what? Yes, I have said I'm a vegan. And as it turns out, I'm a vegan... I'm a vegan most of the time, except there are certain days. You gotta understand something, man. I don't eat meat not because of any sort of stringent diet. I don't eat meat because I don't like the slaughtering of animals for food, all right? Now, having said all of that, I said, I don't know.
Having said all of that, you said, hey, look, why don't we just have a steak? Because I don't like slaughtering animals, but on second thought, yes, I do.
No, it's because the steak is there. I said, well, I'll eat it. And we'll have a barbecue of steak, and that, you know, that's that.
And that's the last one you'll ever have. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's probably what you told yourself, right, Phil?
No, that isn't what I told myself, Ted. What I told myself was, look, at the cow's been slaughtered, the meat is there, we want to have a barbecue, I'll go ahead, I'll cook up a sirloin steak, we'll have it, and that's that, you know? And to say that I'm a vegan for moral purpose, I mean that. I'm a vegan because I don't like the slaughtering of animals. I don't like the torture that these animals are put through when they are processed into food. But by the same token, there was the steak. Yes, the deed had been done. Yes, I bought it. And as you know, I'm not a crusader about this stuff. There's probably a big portion of my audience that doesn't even know I'm vegan.
Well, that's a very, I think that's rather, what do they call that, a specious argument?
No, well, I think it's bullcrap.
There you go, it's bullcrap, Phil.
Oh, why?
Because I don't think it matters whether the audience knows or doesn't know. It's you, and it's what you are putting out there in the world. You do mention it on the air.
Now, don't you talk about being vegan.
Phil, I know you talk about being vegan, because you and I had a big thing on the air about it.
Yes, I know I've talked about it. I don't think I've talked about it that much on the show. But as long as we're talking about it, yes, I'm talking about it. What the hell am I talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about being a vegan, that you don't talk about it. I'm talking about...
Yeah, that's right. You don't talk about being the vegan.
Yeah, because you don't want to put the meat in the mouth.
You trying to be funny?
Yes. Somebody better start being funny around here.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so thank you very much, Ted. So you want to put the meat in the mouth, huh?
Yeah, that's what I... You know something? This was going to be a wonderful segment on a new slogan for the Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant, and I made the big, terrible, rotten, horrifying, mortal sin of an error of saying, hey, some people I know in South Florida happen to know that Phil Henry was eating meat.
But just start bawling, man.
I'm not bawling. But I think it's very unfair that when I...
I think, well, if you want to call, I want to put a meat in a mouth.
I want to put a meat in a mouth. That's worse, okay?
He didn't mean to say that. He meant to say what you're saying.
Well, what is that?
I want to put the meat in the mouth. Is that it?
Yes, okay, that's good.
Yeah, you want to say you want to, or a meat in a mouth.
No, I don't want to say I want to put a meat in the mouth. That makes it too anonymous. It makes it too distant, you know?
Yeah, it's too distant. Like, you want to know the guy,
No, Phil, no, I don't. You know, and you guys, all of you people in Phil Henry land can keep trying to turn Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan, one of the greatest slogans in all of the steakhouse business, you want to turn it into something dirty and ugly. I won't let you do it.
Okay, so you want to put the meat in the mouth.
That's right. I want to put the meat, in the mouth. That means any meat, well, not any meat, the Ted's of Beverly Hills meat, in specifically the Ted's of Beverly Hills customer's mouth, but I don't want to be personal about it. I don't want to specify whose mouth, okay? And that's all I'm trying to say!
Goodbye, Ted.
I'm sorry I yelled. I didn't.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills and the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What a mental midget.
A mental midget? That man, like all the other guests on your program, needs a doctor.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
He needs a doctor, Phil.
I've got to concur, Phil. I've never heard anybody go off the deep end.
No, you can't. Mr. Bell, he said you can't.
Here we go again.
Bud, why do you let these people back on, Bud?
Look, Mr. Henry said no. He said no. What? I can wash dishes on Friday.
Get it! Give me.
Hey, Ted, what are you asking the kid to work?
I asked if he was free, okay? I'm paying him. I paid him $15 an hour.
Don't do it for less than 20.
Okay, I need 20 bucks.
What an asshole, man. Okay, thanks a lot. Goodbye.
You can't hang up now that you've called in.
I can't hang up now that you called me. I couldn't hang up. I can't hang up now.
You can hang up. K-A-N-G.
I can't hang up, right?
No, you can't. Now, here's what I got to say to you.
Oh, great.
If you want to pull your advertising, pull it. Don't ever lose your temper like that on this show again. Understand?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I heard you, okay?
All right.
Now, let me just say this. Number one, you ate meat. You claim to be a vegan and you ate meat.
Yes, I do claim to be a vegan, but yes, I did eat sirloin steak.
And you did it because you wanted to have your kicks. You wanted to get some kicks with your girlfriend, isn't that right?
And why are you crying?
I'm not crying.
He's emotional.
Sounds like you're angry.
Yes, you better believe I'm angry. I'm very angry.
I did it because we wanted to have a barbecue, and there was nothing else to barbecue other than the steak, and I said, all right, let's do this one time.
Okay, number three. We may change the slogan of Ted's of Beverly Hills to we want to put the meat in the mouth, not a meat in a mouth, as Dickman said, because I feel it is more impersonal, and therefore it is more direct and more businesslike. Am I going to do it? I haven't made the decision. Will I do it? It's looking more and more like I won't. Why? Because I rolled it out on the Phil Henry Show, where all I ever do is take endless amounts of cow dung, and I'm shoved down on my back, my mouth is pried open, I have it shoved in.
All right.
About it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ted. Coming up next is Steve Bozell and an incident on an airplane involving Steve from Salt Lake City to Los Angeles this past weekend. We'll talk about it when we come back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Nice little fade out there, Phil.
Okay. Hi, this is Mel Barney of Barney's Roses. We've moved to Los Angeles. We now have a Barney's Roses in the Los Angeles environs. We have a Barney's Roses in Milwaukee. We now have a Barney's Roses in Los Angeles. We may have a Barney's Roses in San Francisco. I don't know, and I don't care. My whole purpose, the existence of my life, swings on one thing and one thing alone, selling roses for you to take to your woman so that she won't be angry at you and will give you the sex. Barney's Roses, go to her, she give you sex. Barney's Roses, go to her, she give you sex. Barney's Roses, go to her, she give you sex. 2115 East Maple in Los Angeles. Is there such a street? I'm making a street called Maple, and I'm putting my store on it. Barney's Roses, you buy roses, give to her, she make love you. Barney's Roses, since 1961, I guarantee you give her a bouquet of our beautiful roses, and she will take clothes off. Clothes come off when you give Barney's Roses. Barney's Roses in Milwaukee and Los Angeles. Yeah, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back from South Florida here at the El Pacifico. All right, thank you very, very much, Robert. Welcome back, folks, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And Stephen Bozell joining us now to talk about it's an airplane ride that Steve took. You know, I was on an airplane myself, Stephen, on yesterday. Is he in the bathtub?
Yeah, Mr. Bozell, Mr. Henry does know you're in the bathtub. I hope you understand that. Yeah.
Phil, Yeah, I'm taking a hot tub because I'd had a pretty rough day, and my understanding is that yours is the only talk show in America that really is going to allow men. And I'm trying to give you a compliment, allow man time to have some man time in a bathtub, so I appreciate that very much.
You're allowed to be in a bathtub. You have to call and get the clearance, and you did get it from Bud.
Yeah, except that Bud's giving the clearance on this stuff way too much, so...
Well, all right. Do you want me to call back another time?
No, we have you, but so long as... We have a problem with a lot of people on this show who are in bathtubs, and generally they like the hot water so much that they start going, yeah, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
They start making noises that I find to be a little bit, I don't know, offensive. But anyway, he's talking about when you get into a hot tub, how do you sound?
Well, I don't really know.
Never mind. So let's just talk about, I was flying yesterday myself in from South Florida.
Yeah, I understand that you're, and I'm glad you... Had a good time with your lady friend.
I had a great time. So you're coming in from Salt Lake City?
I was coming in from Salt Lake City there for a builder's meeting, and I had, this is one of those moments where it was embarrassing, but I talked to my wife April about it, and she said, you know, to make it less embarrassing, get it out there in case people start talking about it. You'll be at the front end of it, you know, and that's kind of a bad way of putting it, but...
But what is it about?
Well, what happened was, let me just get, if you don't mind, Phil, because it has been a tough day. I'm sorry, but I just want to get a little bit more of this.
Here it comes.
And,
See, that's what Phil's talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Ernie, is that it?
Yeah, no, I knew you were going to do that, so that's okay.
Well, you knew I was going to do what?
Never mind, just go ahead.
All right, well, I was just in... Thank you. Thanks, honey. My wife April's here. As a matter of fact, April was the one who told me, do you want to talk to them, honey?
No, I don't care.
All right. But April's the one who...
Steve, I want to ask you, that was your wife just a moment ago.
Yes. What seems to be the problem?
Nothing, General. I'm so sorry, Steve. So here it is. Question is, you were coming back from the builders' meeting in Salt Lake City, and you said something very embarrassing happened, so you want to get out in front of it.
Exactly, and that's my wife... Isn't that your advice, honey?
Yeah, that was it.
All right. So she said to me, get out in front of it and tell everybody about it and laugh it off. And the reason is that these things have a habit of getting over to the men's club at the church, and then it can turn into something ugly. It can turn into something that no one anticipated, and you never in your right mind ever wanted it to turn into. And the next thing you have a very ugly, 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 horrifying incident.
Well, what happened, Steve?
All right, so... And
by the way, Steve, I'm going to tell... Steve already told me about this.
I did tell Ms. Gray, yeah.
Okay.
I was there on the airplane and coming in and to Los Angeles. I guess we're probably about an hour outside of L.A. because I remember feeling the aircraft begin to dip and I felt a slight change in airspeed. I don't know if you ever do that, Mr. Andy, but I consider myself... I'm pretty good at that. I can tell if... It changed the airspeed, you know, and you'll go, yeah, okay. You can kind of feel it. You know, do you ever do that?
Yeah, I've done that.
Okay. Really?
Steve, it's not on you. A lot of people can feel the change in airspeed and elevation.
I know that, but I pride myself on knowing that when they do, I know that we're probably about an hour or so, you know, outside of it.
Okay, outside of the destination.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's great. So does this have something to do with...
No, it doesn't. But... let's get to it, will you? My wife just said to get to it. So anyway, I said, well, I need to go and use the restroom. So I got up and I went back to the restroom, which is the rear of the plane.
By the way, was April with you?
No, my wife wasn't with me. This was just a kind of a builder's meeting, a get-together conference, that kind of thing. It had nothing to do. She knows there are no women there or anything like that. Yeah. Good thing, too. Yeah. So I got up to use the bathroom. I go to the back, to the rear, latrine or whatever they call it.
The restroom.
The restroom, yeah. And I sit down on it, and this is the funny part, and I wanted to tell you about and laugh it off and everything like that.
Now, when you say you want to laugh it off, were you not laughing it off initially?
I was laughing it off, but I wasn't laughing hard enough because I felt... Yes, I was laughing it off, and I think I want to share it with you because I was laughing it off, okay? It's just, you know...
Let's pretend you were laughing it off.
Yeah, let's pretend I was laughing off. I sat down on the toilet, and I was going to go and do the toilet. And I say do the toilet because I feel that that's a good way of speaking of that particular act, Mr. Turner. I've heard people struggle over the years on radio and television. They'll say, well, I went to do the business. All I say is I went to do the toilet. And to do it, to do it right and do it good.
Okay, and you find that a better way of saying I need to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go do the toilet, do it right, and do it good.
Yeah, it sounds more graphic. Yeah.
What do you mean it sounds more graphic?
Why don't you just say you got to go do the toilet?
You don't need to say I'm going to do it right and do it good.
All right, okay. So I sat down on the toilet.
Yeah, because you're going to do it right and do it good.
Just shut up, bud, okay? Go ahead, Steve.
I sat down on the toilet, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, that's kind of bad. I didn't know what I ate. You know, I was just wondering what I ate because it was getting fairly strong. So all of a sudden, here's the funny part. The door swings open, and there's a little girl standing there looking at me, and she immediately closed the door. Now, I was sitting on the toilet with my pants down, just rammed down at my ankles because I had to go pretty bad, so I went in and I shoved my pants down. And I was reading a sports page from this, I think it's the Salt Lake City Slobber or something like that. And
you're reading a sports page? You weren't looking at your phone or anything like that?
No, I had the sports page. But I just folded it up and I put it down on the side of the toilet where people usually stick, stuff. And
okay, so you're one of those guys that does that. You're the guy that puts the newspaper, the magazine, shoved down there next to the toilet like it's a garbage can.
Yeah, is there a problem or something?
It's pretty rancid and foul behavior.
And you've been to how many men's rooms, Ms. Gray?
I haven't been to any. My husband tells me about it. Thank you very much.
You know, it's just something I noticed, but go ahead. Go ahead, Steve. It's no big thing.
All right, so anyway, I put the sports page down, and this door swings open. There I am. My pants are shoved down. I'm leaning forward on my hands with my face in my hands, sort of, kind of looking forlorn because it was kind of painful. I had gas. And the kid opens the door and just goes, hey, and then I grabbed it and slammed it shut. Can you imagine that in this day and age? So, I wanted to get out in front of that because I just don't want anybody,
Anybody what?
I don't want anybody thinking I did it on purpose or something.
Did what on purpose, Moses? But sat there without the door latched?
Yes, sat there without the door latched.
I don't think anyone does that on purpose, Steve. I hope you didn't. I believe that you didn't.
I did not. Of course I didn't.
All right. So why are you bringing it up, man? I mean, if you didn't do it on purpose, it was an honest mistake.
Because the word might leak out to the public that Steve Bozell was on an aircraft from Salt Lake City to Los Angeles and was sitting on a toilet, and a kid opens the door, and I'm sitting there with my pants down, looking forward, with my head in my hands, like I'm all depressed. Plus, I've got foul gas.
And so you did that to set up some kid?
Well, you don't know how people think.
I can assure you, my friend, I do not think that at all. I think you were pretty dumb. Why didn't you latch the door?
I don't know. I just did completely latch. It's a crazy, crazy thing, but I just forgot to do it. And as a result, that's what happened. So, but see, now it's starting to sound serious. But what?
Make it sound like it's a joke.
Yeah, so isn't that funny, Mr. Henry? And that can happen to anybody. I'm Steve Bozell. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, can this be a portion of your show called It Can Happen to Anybody with Steve Bozell?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because it sounds boring. And while it is an everyday, it's a funny thing to hear about things that happen to people, sitting down without the...
Jesus.
Yeah, see, Phil finds it funny. I don't think you did it on purpose. I just find it kind of, dumb.
Oh, you find it dumb? You think it's funny, though, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, for a guy to sit down and forget to latch the... has that ever happened to you, General?
No, I don't think it ever has.
What about you, Robert?
No.
Bud?
Yeah.
It has happened.
Yeah, I think once or twice probably. I sat down and said, oh, wow, I didn't latch it.
Okay, so it has happened to you. And what did the person say?
What person?
The person opened the door.
Well, no, I mean, I forgot to latch it, but nobody opened the door.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, you're asking me a question...
So you sat down without latching the door, without locking the door, but no one came in on you?
No.
All right, so I guess you're the only guy, Steve.
Okay, oh, yeah, great. That person. Yeah. Eugene. Hang the phone up.
No, I'm going to talk to Mr. Henry.
Hang the phone up. Mr. Henry, this is April Bozell. He's going.
Mrs. Bozell, can I talk to you?
She's gone up to do laundry. I got to get going. She wants me to hang the phone up. So that's what happened to me.
And you were telling me about this because it's like a funny everyday occurrence.
Well, yeah.
Well, you're not laughing, man. You sound like you're all nervous about it and weirded out by it.
Well, I was originally weirded out and nervous about it. I told my wife about it, and she said, tell you about it, as if it's an example of something that happens to everybody every day. And I told you about it, and you I want to ask you if you tell me about it.
What are you talking about, Bozell?
About whether it's happening to you guys.
Yeah, it happened to Bud twice. Right, Bud?
Twice or a bunch of times, but nobody ever walked in.
Okay, great. That's great. So he did it. He unlatched. He left the door unlatched, but nobody ever walked in on him.
No, nobody ever walked in on him. But, Steve, I can tell you, your idea for weird things that happen to people.
It was going to be called, I don't know, it was going to be called Weird Everyday Occurrences That, you know, Can Ruin Your Life or Not Ruin Your Life.
So you thought this could ruin your life? Well, what did you think? The child was going to go tell an adult?
Well, I don't know, but I just thought, I'm sitting there, my pants are down, I'm having gas problems, I'm passing probably something that's just, oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, forget it. Hang the phone up for Christ.
Get him back on here.
Yeah, Mr. Bozell, you can't hang up. You can't hang up.
Try to tell her that, for Christ's sake.
Don't hang the phone up, man.
I told my wife, don't hang the phone up. I said to hang up the gut.
All right, let him go. Let him go. Let him go. First show back. Ted Bell's flipping his lid. There's Steve Bozell taking a dump with the door open on an airplane. I'm Phil Hendry.
And just like that, Phil Hendry is off like a shot into the new week.
This is General Galen Shaw saying that the world-famous Phil Hendry Show has been executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
I'm Bud Dickman.
Jesus. You join us again for tomorrow's show, folks.
Ay, 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 ay. Oh my God, I love this Harlem Nocturne. Do, 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 do.